हरि ओम गणा गणपतिगुंहवामहे कवीनापमशवस्तम ज्येष्ठराज ब्रह्मणा ब्रह्मणस्पत आन शुण्वन्नोतिदसाधन श्रीमहागणाधिपत नमः सदाशिवसमारंभां शंकराचार्यमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। आत्मस्वरूप बंधुगण, सो इफ आई रिमेंबर करेक्टली वी हैव फिनिश्ड द 12th वर्स द 3rd चैप्टर ऑफ गीता, सो नाउ वी विल डू द 13th। यू मे से विथ मी, यज्ञशिष्टाशिनः सन्तो मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वघं पापाः ये पचन्त्यात्मकारणात्। सो इन द संधि इट बिकम्स पापाः व्हेन यू ब्रेक इट, when you combine it, papa ye pachantyatma karana. You see, just now we are talking of the way the jnani looks at the world. Ahanta, mamata, idanta, these are not there. The jnani just doesn't define himself in any way connected to a limited existence. So all this we have seen. But you can really appreciate how difficult it is. What is the difficulty involved? Is it the vastu is so much away from us, so it is so difficult to reach it? Is it that? No, it is not that way. Because the vastu, the reality, is so close to us. In fact, it is the closest. Nothing is as close as it is. Then what is the difficulty? The difficulty is, the mind is the difficulty. Because you have a wakeful state which is entirely constructed for us by the mind. Mind prepares a wakeful state and gives it for us, and we live by it. In fact, we live under the tyranny of the mind. So people complain about outside situations. The situation there, the people there, and the environment is so stifling and all that. There is no stifling from outside. The entire stifling is created by the mind. It is the mind. Sometimes we try to just transfer the responsibility or the scapegoat, so onto the outside, so that we can feel a little more comfortable. So, if you have a hard look at it, it is our mind which torments us, not any outside person. It is the mind which stifles us. It is the mind which is in a stupid and stubborn way stands as an obstacle in the path of knowledge. Like moon covers up the sun. Moon is what? Simple, silly thing before sun. It is nothing when compared with the sun. But then it covers up the sun in eclipse. Similarly, the mind, it eclipses the Atma. And therefore, without ever knowing our own true nature, we live a life given to us by the mind. So we don't have, that is what is called bondage, the bondage of the mind. Then the freedom is freedom of the mind. So the mind is such a thing, you can get a freedom from it only when it is pure. The impure mind is opaque to the reality, and the pure mind is transparent. And impure mind binds, because a man is nothing but his ideas. And if all the wrong ideas are there in the mind, it is impure, it binds the person. It drives him from place to place, from birth to birth, from one loka to the other loka. So you have to address the mind, and you have to purify the mind. You see, whenever you want to know something, appreciate a vastu, there jnanam will help. But when you want to clean up something, there jnanam is not going to clean up anything, I tell you. So, I am telling from the Atma Jnana point of view. So, for cleaning up is the job of karma. Therefore, to clean up the mind, antahkarana shuddhi, it is done by appropriate action, a selfless action, an action in which the ego and its ragadveshas, its likes and dislikes, they do not play a role. So, an action which is worth offering to the Ishvara, an action which is inspired by devotion, by worshipful attitude, that action, it is called yajna. So, that action purifies the mind. And once the mind is pure, vastu is already yours, you need not make an effort to acquire it. Therefore, in a person's life, purification of the mind becomes the all-important aspect of spirituality. Therefore, there is no effort to gain the vastu. Vastu is already with you. You need not even embellish the vastu because it is nitya shuddha. And so you need not do anything about the vastu. Only with reference to the mind which functions as an obstacle to the vastu, there is something to be done. And that is the purification, antahkarana shuddhi. And depending upon the type of impurity in the mind, you have to adopt an appropriate mode of purification. So, especially, the mind is riddled with ragadveshas, strong likes and dislikes. In fact, these strong likes and dislikes, they cause the entire samsara. There is no other samsara than the life of ragadvesha. Therefore, we have to carefully unravel these ragadveshas and understand them and disentangle ourselves from the mesh of likes and dislikes. So this can be done only by acting with the spirit of yajnam. And in the last class, so an action is necessary to neutralize a raga or a dvesha. So every time you act in accordance with dharma, not in accordance with ragadvesha. So every time you perform such an action, it reduces the hold of ragadvesha on the person. And therefore yajna, the life of yajna becomes very important in the path of spirituality. I am trying to connect the earlier class with this. So now yajna shishtashinas santaha. So human being is a bhokta. It is the enjoyer which comes into the world. We wake up from sleep and the person is ready to enter into the world, interact with the world. So what is his status at that moment? The status of a bhokta, is enjoyer. So from that status alone, he approaches the world. Therefore, one should never be an enjoyer. This enjoyership is very corruptive and we should not, that is the self-centered attitude of the human being. So human being is so self-centered that he doesn't care for any higher reality, he doesn't care for the truth. He is interested in only serving his own self-interest, his own selfish likes and dislikes. So this attitude which is ingrained in the human being, naturally it is there. One, naturally it is there means naturally ajnana is there, that's why it is there. Therefore it has to be addressed by a life of selfless service, that yajna, yajna bhavana. So in yajna, means yajna in a very restricted sense, it means a ritual, nitya karma, a ritual which is an offering to the Lord. But then in a wider sense, it means a life of selfless service. So there, the bhoktrutvam will be there. It is not completely gone, but the bhoktrutvam subserves the service. Yajna shishta ashinaha. Ashinanti ashinaha. They still continue, continue to enjoy a few things, but not with the tatparata, means with the self-same commitment they don't enjoy. They enjoy a few things as a part of service to the society, worship of Ishvara. So that is yajna. So yajna shishta means whatever is left behind after the performance of yajna, this is what is called prasadam, yajna prasadam. So you do, in yajna what they take an offering, so they prepare purodasha. That purodasha, if you are hungry, this much ball of Purodasha is sitting there. You, if it is put in your hand, you can nicely enjoy it. But then nobody will do that. They leave it there, then take small pieces of that Purodasha into the hands. It is called Avadanam. They take it into the hand. And then, so then they take it into the hand and put it into the offering spoon, the Srukkar Sruvam. And then the Advaryu offers it. Like that, there are a number of homas. After all the ablations are performed, half or one third of the Purodasha is still left behind. That we consume with all devotion. So sometimes this Tirupati laddu is so tasty. It is the best possible breakfast, I tell you. Tirupati laddu, or some of the temples, they provide pulihara, the tiger food they call it. So this cooked rice, yellow rice, because it is yellow in color, they call it yellow rice, a dumb name. It is a tiger rice it is. That is how they call it. So very punching and all that. It is a wonderful snack. It is better than any of these snacks. So, but then we offer it to the Lord and then take it. Not as any other item. It is always considered as a prasada. Yajna shishta it is. It is something that is left behind after offering to the Lord. Then we enjoy it. This is the spirit of service is like that. So, I know a Mahatma who used to serve food. That is his job. So cooks and serves food. And while doing that, any number of people they come, he continues to cook and serve. So sometimes, he doesn't have food for himself. To that extent he serves. Because people know, oh, he will give food if we go there. Therefore they go in droves. And he serves all of them. Whatever food is there, he gives to them. And I asked him, do you feel happy only when you eat after serving all the people? That is what the question. Just I was trying to appreciate him rather than asking him a question. Sir, you become happy only after serving all the people, then you eat, then you become happy. Yajna sishtashina santaha. But he said, no, when I serve people and because of that, my food, whatever I kept for myself, that is also served and I remain empty stomach, on an empty stomach, then I will become really happy. That is what he says. So, khake santushta hona, khilake santushta hona, these two levels, both levels he has crossed. So, you eat and become happy, he has crossed it. You give to others and then eat and then be happy, even that he crossed. You give to others to such an extent that you go without food, then he becomes happy. So, just the spirit of service, this kind of food, of giving food, free food to people, it is in the Indian culture. In India, I all the time say, 1,000,000,000 people are there. A huge population lives by charity. Like homeless people here. Homeless people, how many they have? They must be having 100 or so. In fact, strictly speaking, in New York, 100 or 200 homeless people, they have one shelter. I read about it in New York Times. Because it is a big issue, they make it a big issue. In India, there are millions in every province. And they are not an issue. They are fed like that. They are not an issue. So, nobody here, I don't think they are homeless. I feel sometimes they have better homes than some of the people in India. Just they are called homeless because in a relative sense they are homeless. You see, the type of structure he has around him and the way, cozy way he fixes himself for the simple night, for a restful night, I will be glad to exchange my bed with him anytime. So they take care of themselves, which is good. But they should have better than that also. I am not against it. But in India, a huge population lives on charity. There is so much charity in the Hindu society. But unfortunately, nobody recognizes it. That's why we have to say so many times. So in other cultures, they do 1% charity and make a big deal about it. Whereas in India, 99% charity goes unrecognized. Because they do charity not for a name, not in the name of a religion. They don't bring all this religion, this, that, all these things they don't bring into picture. Just simply they do charity in a secretive way and keep quiet. Anyway, So yajna shishtasinaha, like that we have to offer to others. This yajna is fivefold. Shankara here talks of pancha yajna. So pancha yajna means the devatas are there. So you have to offer something to the devatas. You see, in the Vedic culture, we consider it appropriate to offer a drop of butter or ghee into the fire, into the outside fire. Not offering all of it into the inner fire only. Sometimes a drop of it, you need not offer big liters and liters, not necessary. Just a few drops. So, two ahutis are there, just two ahutis, morning two, evening two, in a Vaidika's life. If that kind of a disciplined life is not possible in view of the changed times, then an occasional oblation, occasional homa, maybe on the date of birth or whatever. If at all they have the habit of doing something on date of birth, then they can do a little havan. So, or at the time of marriage, or any such pitru shraddham is there, they also do havan at that time. Like that we have certain times where havan is done very spontaneously, fire is lit and offering oblations is there. Even that kind of yajna is considered very appropriate for the grihasthas. Nowadays in India, I see a trend. In fact, I commented also, grihasthas stopped doing karmas. They became bhoga parayana. So, wedded to pleasures only. They don't have energy or time left for karma. Sannyasis are doing karmas. This is a big, wonderful development. Huge yajnas, etc., sannyasis they do. This is a very unwise, undesirable development. Sannyasis need not do any karmas. They should not do. In fact, it is surprising to see some of the Mahatmas, they will be moving here and there with so many works. But when Purnahuti comes, they come there. And they offer Purnahuti into the fire themselves. Till then, Advaryu will offer oblations. But at the time of Purnahuti, everybody is ready with cameras, this and that. So very special occasion it is. Thousands of people gather around that fire. Till then they will be loitering here and there for breakfast, coffee, tea, etc. Homas will be going on. When Purnahuti time came, everybody comes there, cameras, this and that. Then the Mahatmaji comes and offers Purnahuti, which is very inappropriate. The sannyasi is not supposed to put anything into the fire. So it is the duty of a grihastha. He has to do yajna occasionally, havan. Even in that restricted sense, we say it has to be done. Yajna shishtashina santaha, that is deva yajna. Then pitru yajna. Pitru yajna is a necessity. It is a naimittika karma, it is. Which amounts to saying nitya karma. It's not done on a daily basis, but it is a to be done karma. So ancestors, like Father's Day, Mother's Day, in every culture it is there. So maybe Father's Day, Mother's Day is not about the departed souls, I don't know. But if it is so, then it is so. I don't know what it is, but in India, Pitru, English translation is a problem. Pitru Tithi, we say, means it is ancestors who have left the world. That is the Pitru. As long as he is living, we don't call it Pitru Tithi. A birthday is not called Pitru Tithi in Sanskrit. Pitru Tithi means Shraddha Tithi only. The departed soul only. So, we should remember the immediate generation of the elders when they depart the world. Till we live, we have to remember the grihasthas. In India, I know any number of grihasthas. His age is 90 and he is about to die. In another week or 2 weeks, he will die. And he knows that. But he says, just before death, this tithi has come. My goodness, one more time I will offer something to the ancestors. So that fellow, that gentleman, he is unable to move from the bedridden, even in the hospital. They won't stay in hospital. In India, they don't like hospital. They have to come back to the home only. Because in hospital, they cannot do nityakarma and all that, you know. So they die in the house. So they get up with fever or whatever. A terminal illness is, in spite of that, he gets up, take a bath with the help of people and offers oblations to the Pitrus, with the help of all the people. Then only he is satisfied. And then he dies in a week or two. So, till the last breath, he has to do the nitya karma and naimittika karma. That is the yajna bhavana. So, I am explaining the yajna in the restricted sense only, the pancha yajna sense. That is how Shankara explained. Shankara gives a scope for a wider explanation also. But even in that restricted sense of a ritual, it is very important because there is such a fantastic spirit behind it. Therefore, so you see, here is a person who is so keen on performing Shraddha. What does it mean? It means this much. Dehabhimana is not there. He raises above Dehabhimana without noticing it, without being conscious of it, he raises above Dehabhimana. Because suppose he identifies himself with the body, then he has to identify his parents also with the body, and then the body is gone. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya punaragamanam kutaha. So there is no jiva other than the body, therefore any ancestral rite becomes irrelevant. But then he performs it with so much devotion, that means even while performing that karma, he is reinforcing the understanding that I as a jiva am independent of the body. The body dies, atma doesn't die. He is conscious of that fact. That understanding is reinforced every year, year after year. Every time he performs an ancestral rite, a yajna, pitru yajna it is. Similarly, deva yajna. So all these yajnas, they help in establishing oneself as an entity, which is life and consciousness, distinct from the body. That dehatma bhava, which is so corruptive, you cannot just neutralize it by logic and by argument. You have to neutralize it. You have to live the neutralized dehatma bhava. So the very starting point for neutralizing dehatma bhava, the identity with the body, is performing the yajnas. Because yajna becomes relevant only when your true nature is something distinct from the body. Then only yajna becomes relevant. Otherwise yajna has no relevance at all. You can just stop yajna. If you think you are the body, then you need not do yajna. Therefore, yajna becomes an important input in neutralizing dehatma bhava. Not only yajna, in fact, dharmacharanam is done for that purpose. So, I will discuss it in due course of time today or in next class. So, these aspects. So, yajna shishtasinaha, that is the pitru yajna. Then the third yajna is manushya yajna. So, manushya yajna means atithi. Guest comes, guest is looked upon as God. Atithi devo bhava. And we stretch our resources, we stretch our energies to satisfy. Satisfy means to make the guest pleased, to please the guest, to make him feel comfortable. And you see, suppose a guest comes, you are ramrod-like, business-like approach you present before him, then he will try to move away as early as he can. So, we should not be business-like towards guests. We should be something more than business-like. Yeah, I offered him water, food and all that, but he walked away. It should not be like that, like business-like. Even if you go to Walmart, they show so much respect. Really? The other day I was just walking like that, and one young lady, she has a Walmart coat, she says, please come in. Then I felt like going in. So I did not have a work there. So when a guest comes, we should make him feel comfortable and at home. Then he can stay comfortably. So atithi devo bhava, the manushya yajna. Then bhuta yajna, the dogs, the crows, and other animals, a cow, or even a buffalo, any animal. Irrespective, it doesn't matter whether what kind of animal it is. So they are called gramyah pashavaha. There are aranyah pashavaha. The animals that live in the forest, they don't seek our assistance in food and all that. The gramyah pashavaha only, they alone, the animals that linger around in the villages, in India it becomes more relevant. Because there are no pet animals there. All are open. These are open for all. It's an open society in a way. Democracy even for the animals. So an animal is crossing the road, then the vehicles this side and that side, they get backed up and they will be waiting. And once the animal crosses, again they move on. Nobody even bothers to complain why these animals are coming here, what municipality people are doing. They don't comply. They know what municipality people are doing. Because this municipality in India, It is such a hoax institution. The municipality does only two jobs. In fact, I know the municipal people, some of them attend my classes also. So, I know they do only one thing. They collect tax, house tax, road tax. These are some of the taxes which are in their purview. Most of the taxes are in state and central government. The municipal has got one or two taxes left behind. They collect them. And that is just enough for their salaries. That's it. Sometimes the office and the building in which they live, it is such a dilapidated building. So when we say, why don't you have a better building? They say, we don't have funds. Then we are paying taxes. The taxes are enough for just the salaries. Not more than that. And therefore, if they want a pitcher for drinking water, they may collect, each person puts one rupee like that, and they purchase a pitcher and keep there. So, just I am telling in a jocular way, sometimes it is much better than this. Anyway, so the municipality, nobody questions why municipality allows these animals. Nobody questions. Just allows it. And you will be surprised to see in places like Rishikesh, etc., even in Hyderabad also, when a cow is stopping all the traffic on either side, suddenly one of the devotees feels so much devoted and he comes forward and offers a banana to that cow. And so the cow receives the banana and he munches it, and then it takes the next step. Everybody is happy, all are waiting. Nobody complains. They also live with us. We want milk, you know. When we want milk, why we should not have them on So, this is some silly logic, whatever it is. So, manubhuta yajna. Of course, the way they do in this country, especially when it comes to keeping them in proper places, maybe that is better, they should do that also. But still, bhuta yajna is a part of life. We should not become very uncomfortable and jittery when we see animals, etc. Some people become like that. Should not become like that. We should not make ourselves so sensitive. We should be a little rugged about it in life. And less sensitive. A bit thick-skinned is better, always. So, the yajna bhavana helps us. Anyway, yajna shishtashinaha santaha muchyante sarvakil bishaihi. When you enjoy a few things as prasada with the spirit of yajnam, then you will be free from all sins. All blemishes. Kilbisha is a papa, a blemish. So all these blemishes will be away from you. What could be these blemishes? It is highly cultural and in the mimamsic thing it is. So we say here the Shankara analyzes it as so panchasuna krutaihi pramada krata himsa janitaihi cha anyaihi. What could be this sarva kilbisha? Sarva kilbisha means sarva papa. All these blemishes or all these wrongs that come and attach to ourselves, and we have to pay for it later. It is better to neutralize now and here instead of accumulating it. Better to neutralize it. It is like interest payment on a loan taken. So, if you the credit card interest payment, something like that. So, if you pay the interest every month, you pay the bill, that is better. He sends a bill. At the end of the month, he sends a bill. You have spent $100, you have purchased $100 worth of materials, the bill will be $105 or so, 5% they take. So, $105 if you pay, then he will collect it and he will keep quiet. If you do not pay, he will be very happy. He will be very happy. In fact, all these credit card people, their main income is not the paying people. They do not contribute to his income. They contribute only to the maintenance. Their actual profits come from the defaulters. Because a person has defaulted, he is happy. He has now got a customer who will pay double interest. So the interest accumulates. So similarly, when we start living a life of grihastha, then the blemishes, the wrongs accumulate. Like even the interest on loan accumulates, they accumulate. How they accumulate, what are they? So, kandanam, peshanam, chulli, udakumbhascha, marjani, panchasuna, grahasthasya, panchayajnyat, pranashyati. So, panchasunaha, Shankara says, he has this verse from the Smriti in mind. So, as a grahastha, when you live, you are bound to commit some himsa. So that an injury is there. Non-injury concept, ahimsa concept is there. So a grahastha is bound to violate the principle of ahimsa, non-injury. How he violates? Some bugs will be there. He sprays some of these pesticides or whatever, and all these bugs are gone. For example, in India we come across these bugs too much. So all the flying insects will be there. The population of flying insects is high. Tropical country, you know, the tropics are like that. And then we have, due to humidity, we have these cockroaches. Not one or two, thousands of them. And in the kitchen, they are in huge number. And once you lock the kitchen, and you come to your bedroom, now kitchen is their place. They rule the kitchen. And the next day morning when you open, they hear this sound. And then they think, oh, this fellow is coming. So they will disappear. Occasionally, one foolish cockroach comes out by mistake. Otherwise, they remain hidden. They won't come in our way and we don't disturb them. That way it goes on. But a stage comes when their population explodes, then something has to be done about it. Then they spray something. Similarly, rats, especially while doing agriculture, these rats have to be taken care of. Then, while pounding wheat or rice, some insects get killed. While cooking food with wood, firewood they cook, assuming that it is done, then some small insects which are sitting inside the firewood, they make a small house inside the firewood and they are comfortably living there. Even if the tree has become dry, they are comfortable there because they eat that wood itself is their food. And they have made a nice little house and they are living there. Now, we don't know what is going on inside that firewood. And then we put it into the fire. It gets killed. One day I was sitting in a yajnashala and all the wood pieces were there. Then suddenly one small sound was coming, kirkir, like that sound was coming. I thought it is people general noise, but it is not so. When there is no general noise also this sound is coming. Then I have traced that sound to a bigger piece of wood. Then when I put it near my ear, there is sound. Then I told her, hey, there is an insect inside this. Then automatically they have kept it aside. They don't want to put it into fire. But all the time you may not be able to do that while cooking food and all that. So there is so much of himsa associated with the simple life. In addition to that, pramadakrata himsa is also there. You are walking in a hurry, so by mistake without seeing, you step on some creature. Then something is soft, touch of sense is there, sense of touch. Something is soft. Then suddenly you lift your leg and see, already it is dead. So you feel bad about it. That's why sannyasis, they prefer not to walk while it is raining, where many creatures are there. They don't walk. They want to walk on an open place where there are no creatures moving this side, that side. Because we don't want to step on creatures, even by mistake. But then you cannot avoid it all the time. Therefore, this kind of himsa is there. So just to make a simple life, you need to commit so much of injury to other life forms. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Knowingly or unknowingly, one life preys upon the other. So, to come out of this problem, to this papa, this blemish, you are advised to commit, you are advised to support the life in these four, five ways. That kind of a spirit and the offering done with that such a spirit, respecting life everywhere in the universe, and so, as a mark of that respect, I offer to the gods, to the mains, and also to the human beings, etc., and also to the other world. They offer sugar, etc., to ants. In fact, I know a Mahatma. He used to have one old cot full of bugs. Now, nobody can sleep on that cot because the bugs are just waiting for an opportunity. And so this Mahatma, he goes there every day, evening or 4:30 or 5. He puts it on and lies down on it for 5-10 minutes. So that all the bugs, they get some meal out of him. And then he wakes up and comes out. This is his way of offering. He says, all this blood we don't need. Some blood donation will be done. Which is true. And blood donation, that should be done. Blood donation, in India they do blood donation so spontaneously. They do. So you don't need, you don't have any problem in hospitals for blood. People spontaneously, they run and give it. So this way we have to respect life all around us in various forms, because just in the process of living, we are putting an end to various life forms without our knowledge. So this is the spirit of yajna. And who do this yajna and live with the spirit of yajna? Muchyante sarvakil bishaihi. Shri Krishna has a way of teaching, anvaya vyatireka. First he tells a principle in a positive sense, and then he tells the same principle in a negative sense. Means by following it, you get these benefits. By violating it, you will be committing this mistake and you will suffer. So the negative results will be like this. So that's why, anvaya, you follow it, you will benefit. Vyatireka, you violate it, you will suffer. So both he says. Sometimes first he says anvaya, nishetha or vyatireka, and then he says anvaya. That is his general trend in Gita. But here, he first said anvaya, now he says nishetha. The nishetha is, bhunjate te tvagham papaha, ye pachantyatma karanat. So, there are, there are some people, they are opposite to santaha. Paina, in the first half, there are people santaha. In the second half, the opposite kind of people are papaha. Of course, santaha, you can say, santau santaha, pachan pachantau pachantaha. So, just it is used in the sense of, you say, I am, you are, they are. In that are sense it is used, you can take it. Or you can take it as, santaha means satpurushaha. That is the meaning of santaha. So, what is the definition of this santaha? Because, yajnasishtasinaha, as I told already, just because I am sustaining this life, various other lives could come to risk and they may get trampled. And so he recognizes that. And all life is sacred. A small creature was killed under my feet. Oh, what a big deal. He doesn't look at it like that. It is sacred for him. So such vision of Ishvara in every life form, that is the basis of a sant, a satpurusha. This word santaha, in Sanskrit it is plural. And it means satpurushaha, sadhavaha. But in Hindi, it appears just as such as sant. This sant is singular as well as plural. Sant log, like that. And they apply this word sant as an upadhi for all these people, mahatmas. A sant hai, like that. Who is this sant? The sant who is mentioned here. You see, ekanta bhaktir govinde, yat sarvatra tadikshanam, like that in Bhagavata, a sant is defined. In various other places, in different contexts, the satpurushaha is defined, even in Gita it is defined. But I remember this. So, ekanta bhaktihi govinde, the Parameshwara is there, and you have a total selfless devotion towards Ishvara. That is called ekanta bhaktihi. So, if you worship Ishvara, and you have another result in mind, that is not called ekanta bhakti, it is called anaikantika bhakti. So you worship Ishvara, and the goal is also Ishvara. Means is Ishvara, and goal is Ishvara. It is called ekanta bhakti. So Ishvaraha ekaheva antam tatpariyam yasmin. So that kind of ekanta bhakti is there. What is the nature of that ekanta bhakti? Yat sarvatra tadikshanam. In every life form, you recognize Ishvara, because life is Ishvara. Ishvara is Satchit. So, Ishvara has entered into every life form. So, anupravishtaha. Therefore, into a creature's body, Ishvara has entered. And he is obtaining or he is abiding there as Satchit. Because the creature knows that it exists. Into an animal body, Ishvara has entered. He is abiding there as Satchit. Because the animal knows that it exists. And human being is also same. Not a big deal. He knows that he exists. Every human being is Satchit. He is a few other things later. He is a professor or he is a father or he is a president. All these things will come later. based on the incidental situations. Essentially, there is no difference between human being and an animal, because human being is a sentient being and animal is also same. Therefore, that sentience is it is not a local thing or it is not an individual thing. It is Ishvara. In the form of sentience, Ishvara is established in this entire universe. And therefore, the Mahatmas, the Santa Purusha, they recognize Ishvara throughout the universe as that life or that sentience. Yat sarvatra sadikshanam. Everywhere they see that Satchit, they recognize that Satchit. In every life form they recognize it. And those who recognize it and shape their lifestyle accordingly, they are called Santaha. So for them, the yajna bhavana becomes spontaneous. And so they remain free from all the blemishes of this samsara. Whereas opposite to them, papaha. They just opposite, the other extreme. So papaha means those people who lead totally self-centered life are called papaha. This papa is a very interesting definition. Totally self-centered. We come across this attitude. Sometimes the attitudes we can see. Suppose it can be there in all ages. It is not necessary that it is there in young people only. There is no such thing. Suppose a young man is there. He lives a totally self-centered life and he exploits the parents' love. Then now he is married. Now he dumps parents. Dumps means they are wiped. They are no more in his scheme of things. They do not. They are in some corner. So now the wife comes into the picture, and now he starts. He will not be any better towards wife. He was so selfish towards parents. Will he be doing a wonderful job for the wife? It looks like that for a while. Then he starts consuming her. And he lives a life in which she serves the role fulfilling his expectations. Beyond that, there is no thing. There is no giving, only taking. So he starts that life. Then he gives birth to a few children. And he continues this attitude with the children also. And now he is on the deathbed and he is afraid of death. So it is entirely self-centered life. In the house, food, whatever food is prepared, he has to eat the first morsel. When the newspaper arrives, he has to read the fresh newspaper. So just selfishness could be many ways. That's why I gave some silly examples. So this way, so a human being, he lives an entirely self-centered life. I gave an extreme example. Examples are always extreme. And generally, people don't fit into that extreme. But when a negative example is given, extreme is given. So that we will try to see whether those traits are in us and can we neutralize. Similarly, a positive example also, we don't give some mediocre example. We give the highest example so that we can try to emulate. So that is the idea. So the kind of person whom I described, probably you don't find such person. He is a hypothetical person. But such person probably he is in some measure or other in all our hearts, probably. So we have to check it ourselves. Therefore, ye atmakaranat pachanti. So Shri Krishna uses a metaphoric language. Pachanti, they cook the food. So you see, this selfish lifestyle, totally self-centered lifestyle, is described in terms of a single aspect of life, namely cooking food. Ye pachanti. They are cooking the food. Then what for they are pachanti? Everybody cooks food. Even a sant also cooks food. No. Atmakaranat. He cooks food for himself. That is it. In fact, this could be a phenomenon that you find in society. When this becomes very rampant in the society, such a society becomes very callous and it refuses to take care of its own unfortunate brethren. So that's how it happens. We should not allow that to happen. You see, in India, I give you an example from India. One gentleman, he has got this Nalla connection. It's a very big thing in India. So this municipal treated water, it is not available for the entire city. Cities are sprawling, megalopolis they are, very big cities. So sewerage and drinking water, they are not available in the most ideal way throughout the city. So you have to collect the drinking water from a common place where it is available. And some 10 people or 10 or 20 families, they have a common outlet of water. We call it Nalla, so tap. So everybody goes there with their vessels and they stand in a queue and collect one after another. So each person has to collect one vessel and then he has to leave it for the next person. And if you want, you can come and join behind the queue once again. This is how they collect. This gentleman, he was collecting like this water from somebody else's place for the last 10 years. Now he has paid money and got a personal connection to himself. Now he declares, this is my connection, nobody should come anywhere near me, I am not going to give water to anybody. He says, I did not establish this connection for the people of the basti, community. I established it for myself. Like this he declares. You see, you should not declare like that. It is a very unbecoming, you know. When you have some non-vegetarian food, take all those beans and make a mala and put in your neck. That way you should not do. Take some non-vegetarian food, nobody is seeing, okay, thank God, it is over. Be over with it and then do something and be a bit shameful about it, so that maybe you can stop it later. No, this fellow eats all the non-vegetarian and all the bones he puts in his... So you see, these are all what I ate today. What kind of thing it is? So the selfishness, it is so shameful. And if the person revels in selfishness, then he is beyond cure, I tell you. So one should not revel in selfishness. When people are selfish, they feel ashamed about it. Suppose I am eating something and suddenly somebody sees me, I feel ashamed about it. I have eaten without giving to him, like that. I don't feel proud of it. So one should be like that. But here is a gentleman, people, Atma Karanat Pachanti, they are too self-centered, they cook for themselves. Then they eat it entirely themselves. So we are two people, so how much rice we should put? 2 into 100 ml volume. So they have a cup, so 2 cups. No, better you cook 3 cups, because one beggar is coming every day, we can give to him. No, why to waste? Nowadays rice is so costly. It is not only rice. When you cook rice, then you have to make extra sambar and all that. Therefore, nothing doing, only 2 cups. And now they have finished their food. A guest comes. Sir, we have finished our kitchen for the day. Sorry. So this kind of attitude. Oh, I already closed everything and washed the dishes also. And now I am watching TV. Now who will cook? Now I cannot cook. So all these things. This is Atmakaranat Pachanti. So these people, this kind of attitude, if it is there, whatever they cook and they eat, that is not food, that is agham. Agham bhunjate. They are eating papa. Sin they are eating. That is how Shri Krishna would be very harsh in his condemnation when it comes to that. He has his own way of criticizing or condemning people who do wrong. So, in fact, this Pachanti, it is described in Mahabharata. This is also from Mahabharata only. There Mahabharata, it's a Dharmaraja Yaksha Samvada, it is Yaksha Prashna topic. There, Dharmaraja says they are not cooking food, they are cooking themselves. That is what he says. So Pachanti, one can cook food and one can cook himself also. In fact, every time we cook food and eat it, we are cooking ourselves to that extent. So the metabolic process, what is the metabolic process? The body is getting cooked, that is the metabolic process. That's why there is a higher temperature also for it. Anyway, so ye pachanti atmakaranat, te swayam pachanti. Who are cooking for their own consumption, they are indeed cooking themselves. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ ధర్మరాజా లుక్స్ ఎట్ ఇట్. సో శ్రీకృష్ణ లుక్స్ ఎట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ తే అఘం భుంజతే లైక్ దట్. సో ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ యు సీ హౌ దే ఆర్ కుకింగ్, ధర్మరాజా ఎలాబరేట్స్ ఇట్ అనే అనే వాట్ యూ కాల్ మెటఫర్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ యక్షా ఆస్క్స్ ఏ క్వశ్చన్. సో వాట్ ఈస్ ది క్వశ్చన్? కా వార్త, దట్ ఈస్ ది క్వశ్చన్. వాట్ ఈస్ ది న్యూస్, దట్ ఈస్ ది క్వశ్చన్. దెన్ ధర్మరాజా హ్యాస్ టు గివ్ ఎన్ అప్రోప్రియేట్ ఆన్సర్. వాట్ ఈస్ ది న్యూస్? హీ సేస్ మాసర్తు దర్వీ పరివర్తనేన సూర్యాగ్నిన రాత్రి దివేంధనేన అస్మిన్ మహామోహమయే కటాహే భూతాని కాలః పచతీతి వార్త, లైక్ దట్ హీ సేస్. దిస్ ఇస్ ఏ క్వైట్ ఆఫెన్ కోటెడ్ వెర్స్. There he describes a cooking. So who is cooking? Kala purushaha pachati. So Ishvara in the form of kala. Kala means time. The cosmic time. Cosmic time is also called death, because you know time is always in Vedanta, time is always is synonymous to death, because death is what the thing becomes ripe and falls. How? By time. So the what time rots or what time causes, changes it causes in the object or in the person, in the life form, those changes, they cause death finally. Therefore time, you suppose you construct a building and that its life is 100 years. So now the building is it has fallen, some bridges they become dilapidated and they are no more useful, so it is broken down. So what is it that made it so? Kalaha. What is it that kills people? Kalaha. That's why they say age in years. So nobody says age in weight. They say age in years, because it is the time which kills people. Therefore, the time is presented as a purushaha. So, kala purushaha. He is a pachati, he is cooking. Whom? All the people. భూతాని కాలః పచతి. సో కాలపురుష ఇస్ కుకింగ్ ఆల్ ది పీపుల్. ఇది వార్త, దిస్ ఇస్ ది న్యూస్, దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ధర్మరాజా టెల్స్ యక్ష. దెన్ వన్స్ యూ సే కుకింగ్, దెన్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఎన్ ఎలాబరేట్ మెటఫర్. హూ ఇస్ ది కుక్? కాలహ. దెన్ హీ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ వెస్సెల్ టు కుక్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్. యస్, హీ హ్యాస్ ఎ వెస్సెల్. ఇట్ ఈస్ మహామోహమయే కటాహే. You see, when you cook for small people, small food for 2-3 people, you use a smaller vessel. But when you cook on a large scale, they use huge vessels. So it is called kataha. And so Mahamaya, the collective ignorance of the entire creation, it is the kataha, because time has its origin in ignorance only. Therefore, we identify with our body. Therefore, we have death waiting for us. That is the ajnana. And so that ignorance is the kataha. It is the that big vessel in which all these life form, all these human beings are thrown in and they are cooked. Then, what is the fuel? Ratri divendhanena. Day and night is the fuel. So day is one piece of food. Night is another piece of food. Like that, he puts in these pieces of food, one twig after another twig, one twig after another twig he feeds, and finally the person is ripe and so he falls. So this day and night, they are the fuel. Then fire, suryagnina. Sun is the fire, because sun rises, one day of life is gone. Sun sets, another half day is gone. He rises, another half day is gone. Like that, every time sun rises and sets, he is only removing a small piece of our lifespan. That is what he is doing. Therefore, he is the fire. And then you need one spoon to move this broth. You know, the spoon is masartu darvi, masartu, the months and the seasons. So you see, this winter has come. Now it is gone. Summer has come, that is gone. Winter has come, that is gone. Like that, winters and summers, they are rotating, and like that, finally, the person's life has come to an end. A few winters and summers put together, that is the life. So by this cycle of this spring, this, so parties and 31st December 31st party again. So this Masart Dharvi Parivartanena, like that he says, Dharmaraja says. Therefore, we are not cooking anything else, we are cooking ourselves. Therefore, nobody can avoid this. This life and death is a cycle, it continues. You can make the best out of it in an otherwise hopeless situation. You can make best of it by yajna bhavana. It takes you to immortality, really. Therefore, that bhunjate te tvagham papaha ye pachantyatma karanat. Shankara says atmam bharayaha pakan nirvartayanti atma karanat atma hetoho. They do cooking for their own sake. That means they cook food. They don't offer any oblation in the fire. They don't offer to the mains. You have to offer to the ancestors only once in a year. Both parents are twice. They don't do that. They conveniently forget the dates and they will be taking parties this and that. So they will be enjoying dinners, lunches, very costly food and all that. But it never occurs to them that whether mains, ancestors, whatever may be the principle, how you can investigate it? Can you prove it? That mains are there, they are sitting there for our food. Can you prove it? No. Can you disprove it either? No. Why you should bother? Just offer a little. The spirit is wonderful. The spirit of offering is there. Finally, how they offer, you know, in the name of ancestors, they give food to a poor person. Or they give food to a cow. And when the cow eats, and when another person eats, he thinks that his ancestors were pleased. What a wonderful principle. Whether it is correct or not, whether it is rational or irrational, he is doing a charitable action, you know. So, and that much body identity is no good. It is good, the best way to start moving away from the body identity is the recognition of a jiva other than the body. And that recognition, it won't come by just simply paying lip sympathy to it. You have to reinforce that recognition with a positive action. And that positive action is offer some oblation to devatas. That is a positive action, which neutralizes the dehabhimana. And then offer something to the pitrus, which neutralizes the body identity. Then offer something to the guests, like that. So all the, we should cook, in fact what you offer is only 5% or 10%. The rest is all we eat. No problem. By the time you offer a little, the rest becomes prasada. If you don't offer, you eat something and throw the rest, then whole of it is papam. So people don't have enthusiasm to serve, otherwise they don't care for food also, they throw food also. It's not that they take care of food, every grain of it, no. They throw it here and there. Just that enthusiasm to offer is not there. We have become too lazy and too self-centered and bhoga parayanatvam. So that takes us away from the yajna bhavana. That should not happen. So, that's why in Rigveda there is a mantra. Kevalagho bhavati kevaladi. Kevaladi, the Bhagavan is just echoing that mantra really. Kevaladi, adabhakshana, one who cooks for himself and eats himself alone. Himself means he is a small little self which includes a small family. That is also self, you know. So, the doors and walls of the house, they become boundaries of his charity. He is very loving within that four walls. And very charitable within that four walls. It should not be like that. So, the house should be not a boundary for charity and love. It should be a center of charity and love. All charity and love flows out of it, not restricted in it. So, that is the kevaladi. A kevaladi, one who lives entirely for himself, is kevalaghi, kevalagho bhavati. He becomes one who is full of this agha, dosham. Blemish, you can call sinful life. You can say that is the sinful, real sinful life. So one should have the spirit of yajna and one should neutralize the self-centered attitude, the selfishness. If everybody raises one notch above that selfishness, the entire society becomes a beautiful place to live in, and there will be no social things like begging, destitutes, anatha, etc. All these social problems are wonderfully solved by culture, by yajna bhavana. In India, it is not the government which serves the society. Government, how much government can do? Government is busy with land order only. Land order also, it is beyond its head. Therefore, it is the charity and the yajna bhavana, the community feeling, it keeps the society going. So when an earthquake happens, government arrives in the scene after 3 days and then starts making notes and billing files, file after file, all bureaucracy, which probably it is needed. But the spontaneous charity is there. People spontaneously respond and they are charitable. Therefore, things happen. People somehow manage to live. They are very resilient. They make a new house with the help of all the people around. This is what is called building communities. This language I had in this country also. So they say we should build communities, not developments. Developments are needed, of course. You have to build developments, but you have to build communities. So in a development, very posh houses are there and each person has nothing to do with the other person. Instead of that, the communities should be built. One day, I heard President Bush speaking to the country at large. There he used this language, we should build communities throughout the country. That brings a sense of unity, etc. All this has got that yajna bhavana behind it. So, the yajna bhavana is there throughout the world. It is a very wider sense it can be understood. Though I have described it also in the sense of a Vedic cultural life, but then it has to be understood in a very wide sense. And we have to make our life yajna, means an offering, a devotional offering to Ishvara. Then there is no blemish. Everything is all right. Ishvara is in the form of Atma. And that jnani which I told, that jnani's state, it becomes very easily attained. It is not something impossible or unusual. It becomes our own, provided we make a step in that direction. And yajna bhavana is one such very important step. Om purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnamevavashishyate Om shanti shanti shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.